Well, this morning we were getting a marvelous look at God's love for us. More than that, we were seeing probably one of the clearest, most beautiful presentations of the gospel in all of Scripture. The good news, that's what gospel means, good news. The good news is that Jesus offers us forgiveness and salvation. The good news is that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and He is the only way for us to get to heaven. The good news that is that it doesn't depend on us. It doesn't depend on how good we can possibly be, making sure that our good outweighs our bad. It doesn't depend on anything that we do. It depends on what we are willing to accept. Do you accept, as I do, that you've done wrong things in life? Do you accept that you are a sinner? Have you acknowledged that to God in prayer? Confessed it to Him? Just agreed with Him that you both know that you've done things wrong? Do you accept that God loves you and He wants to forgive you for those things? Do you accept that He sent His Son to live and to die in your place so that He could offer you forgiveness, salvation from the consequences of those sins? It's really, at some level, a very simple thing to be saved. It's admitting we're sinners, believing in Christ, and receiving that gift that God offers of forgiveness and salvation. And then we turn around and we just seek to know God. We seek to understand His Word and how it applies to our lives. We seek to live our lives for Him. And you know, part of living for God, that's part of what we're doing together this morning as we celebrate communion. This is not something that actually contributes to our salvation because there's nothing to contribute. There's nothing left to do for us to be saved. It's already been done by Jesus Christ. His death, His resurrection took care of everything that needed to be done in order to offer us forgiveness. Ours is just to accept it or reject it. But then having come to that point in our lives where we have fully asked for God's forgiveness and believed in Jesus Christ, then He calls us to remember Jesus' sacrifice. He calls us to take time regularly to reflect on the fact that Jesus did suffer and die for us as He accomplished for us that offer of forgiveness of sins. And that's what we're going to do together this morning. If you don't have the communion elements that we distributed to our church family here with you, then I invite you to pause the video right now, go into your kitchen, and just find what you can that can take its place. Because it's not a matter of the elements themselves. Jesus took just things that were a part of normal, everyday Passover meals, bread and the common cup of wine that they shared. Jesus took those things and used those to celebrate communion with His disciples in that Last Supper. So you can use whatever you can find. Get as close as you can. If you've got some grape juice and saltines, God bless you. Use what you can use. But I invite you to join us as we take time to reflect on Christ's sacrificial death and resurrection. Reflect on the need for it that was the sin in our own lives. And reflect on the joy that we can have because of the knowledge that Jesus paid the debt that we had. We're going to take some time to share in the reading of Scripture and to pray together and to share in this communion together. When Jesus went to the cross, He was acting as that last and final sacrifice for sins. The sacrificial system in Judaism had been around for centuries, for millennia. It was that an innocent life had to shed its blood to atone for, to make amends for the wrongs of another. And that sacrificial system, they used animals. Lambs particularly were very common part of sacrificial offerings. But Jesus was the final blood sacrifice. He was the perfect Lamb of God, and He willingly bled and died for our sins. And that's what the juice and the bread represent, His broken body, His shed blood for us. We're going to look into what Paul has to say here in 1 Corinthians about that Last Supper as we celebrate together. But before we do that, I invite you to take the bread and to prepare your heart for what we're about to celebrate together. I'm going to give a moment here, maybe about 30 seconds, to take some time to pray. Pray and acknowledge again your sin before God. Just acknowledge the need that each one of us has for His forgiveness. Prayerfully ask Him to reveal anything in your life that needs to be confessed, any unconfessed sin, anything that God might reveal to you and say, you need to do things differently in this area of your life. And just take that time to quietly reflect on the love that God displays towards each one of us as He offers us forgiveness through faith in His Son, His life, death, and resurrection. I'm going to pray for just a moment, and then we'll take that time of silence together so that you can pray as well before we share in the bread. Will you bow your heads with me? God, we do thank You for the sacrifice of Your Son. Lord, we do feel a sense of shame that we are what necessitated His sacrifice. But God, we thank You for the love that You have displayed toward us in offering that life, a life for a life, that You might extend to us that offer of forgiveness and salvation. God, we are grateful for that. And we thank You for the fellowship that we share in this moment. In Jesus' name, amen. If you received one of the communion sets from the church here, you'll find that there is a cellophane-type tab on top that you can peel back to get at the bread wafer that is inside. I invite you to go ahead and retrieve that now. And if you are using something else, perhaps a cracker or a piece of bread, go ahead and get that and have that ready as I read for us from Paul's letter to the Corinthian church. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23, he writes, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'This is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me.'" God's grace just shows up all over Christ's crucifixion and death, and especially His resurrection. That Jesus would willingly bleed and die for us is an amazing thing. The God of the universe humbling Himself, taking on humanity, and dying in our place. And what Jesus used in that final supper with His disciples was something that was commonly used for celebration. Wine, the fruit of the vine, juice. That was something that was a cause for celebration. And for as much as Christ's sacrificial death is a cause for mourning, His resurrection is a cause for celebration. What we have to celebrate is the fact that Jesus didn't stay dead. What we have to celebrate is that He is the way, the truth, and the life, and that we can come to the Father. We can enter into a right relationship with God by faith in Jesus Christ. We can be with Him forever one day. And so before we share in the cup together, I'm going to once again invite you to take time to quietly pray. Use this as a time of rejoicing. As we take that time of silence together, go ahead and just praise God for everything that comes to your mind. Praise Him for His goodness. Praise Him for His love. Praise Him for His provision in your life. Praise Him for always being present with you no matter where you are, no matter what you're going through. Bow your heads with me. I'll lead us in a short prayer, and then we'll take that time of silence so that you can praise the Lord as well. Let's pray. God, we do want to offer you all glory, all honor, all praise, because you alone, God, are worthy of it. You are great. You are awesome in power. Your love is beyond our comprehension, truly, because you loved us in our fallen estate. You loved us so much that you were willing to go to such great extent to offer us forgiveness and salvation. And God, for your grace and your mercy, we want to praise you. Words fail at a time like this, God. So what more can we say than thank you? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for what you have offered us. And thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Once again, if you received one of the communion sets from the church here, you'll find another thicker tab that you can peel back to open the cup of juice there. I invite you to go ahead and prepare that and peel that lid back. If you're using something else from your, go ahead and have that handy and ready. And let me finish the passage for us from Paul's letter to the Corinthian church. In 1 Corinthians 11:25, Paul writes, "In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. And you and I can come to the Father only through him. God bless you. Thank you for joining us as we celebrated this remembrance of Christ's sacrificial death and his resurrection. To God be the glory. Amen.